All right. Well, all right. Well, it's so good to see you all this morning. My name is Jillian. I am the assistant youth director here at West End, working with the middle school youth group. If you are new or visiting, we're so glad to have you with us today. There is a little connection card in the pews if you want to fill that out and then bring it to the welcome desk outside after the service. We'd love to get to know you a little bit more and connect with you there. And if you're just new, maybe you've been coming here for a couple weeks, maybe even a couple months, but you're still trying to meet people, we'd love to get to know you. I'll be back there by that desk after the service. I'd love to meet you because I too am a little bit new and still trying to get to know people. So this morning, I'd like to invite you to rise and body your spirit to receive the call to worship from the word of the Lord. Psalms 100, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to his and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. So just as this good, loving, faithful God has called us here to worship, let us turn to each other and greet each other.
We need no other hiding place. Our hope is safe within your name. This we know, this we know. You promise never to forsake. What you begin, you will sustain. This we know. This we know. I will call upon the Lord, for he alone is strong enough to save. Rise, your shackles are no more, for Jesus Christ has broken every chain. I love the heavens and the earth. Announce the fullness of your worth. This we know. This we know. And every enemy will flee as we declare your victory. This we know. This we know. I will call upon the Lord, for he alone is strong enough to save. Rise, your shackles are no more, for Jesus Christ has broken every chain. I will call upon the Lord, for he alone is strong enough to save. Rise, your shackles are no more, For Jesus Christ has broken every chain. Jesus' name will break every stronghold. Freedom is ours when we call His name. Jesus' name above every other. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Jesus' name will break every stronghold. Freedom is ours when we call His name. Jesus' name above every other. All hail the power of Jesus' name. All hail the power of Jesus' name. I will call upon the Lord, for He alone is strong enough to save. Rise, your shackles are no more, for Jesus Christ has broken every chain. I will call upon the Lord, for He alone is strong enough to save. Rise, your shackles are no more, for Jesus Christ has broken every chain.
Your glory, God, is what our You may be seated. Just a couple announcements for you today. Just a reminder, tonight at 5:30, we have the Dan Cruzy Bible study that's happening. This time you're going to meet over in the gym area and bring some food. It just makes everything a little bit better, in my opinion. So that meets at 5:30 tonight, so we'd love to have you come join us for that. And then this week is a fun and full week as we get to celebrate Thanksgiving on Thursday. We start off that day with a day of worship, and so we're going to meet right back here at Thursday at 9:45. We'd love to have you guys come join us and just start off a day of giving praise by offering thanks and praise to our God that morning. As part of that service, we're putting together a video of just people sharing what they're thankful for. And so we have lots of videos from kids and just a few videos from adults. So adults, we'd love to have you step up. The videos do not need to be very long. It's literally just, you know, this year I just want to thank God for, or I'm very thankful for, and then just list one or two things. You know, a 5 to 10 second clip of saying what you're thankful for. And then if you can just get that to the office or get that to me, we'd love to include that. It's already a very cute video, so we'd love to add your cuteness to that video. So if you can get that to me Tuesday morning, because by Tuesday I hope to kind of be wrapping that up. And the pies, yesterday we made close to 300 pies, so a deep, deep thank you to all the volunteers that were here making pies. Special thank you to Jane Vandepaul for making all of this happen. Let's give her a great big thank you, just because Jane, what a wonderful heart to show, and just the way that you give and the way that you serve, just thank you. For those who ordered pies, you can pick those up. There are freezers over by the front foyer. There are freezers, the freezer in the kitchen. They have lots of pies in there. So if you order them up, just cross your name off the list. That is taped to the front of the freezer, and just grab whatever you ordered up. We did make extras, but most of those extras already been spoken for. So I do not have, you know, I have maybe like five. So those who really, really, really want one and did not order one, you can come see if you can sweet talk me into that. So, for those of you who ordered, thank you very much. You can pick those up today if you would like. At this time, kids, you are dismissed for your time of children's worship. You can make your way down to the basement. So kids ages 3 through 8-ish, you are welcome to head on out. And as they head out, just one prayer request to share with you today. Mary Jane and Ken Timmer's daughter, Sarah, was taken to the hospital this morning. Apparently, Mary Jane and Ken found out this morning that she was 9 weeks pregnant, and they had a complication with that pregnancy that resulted in a whole lot of bleeding for Sarah and the loss of the baby. But Sarah is in stable condition at the moment, but we definitely know that Mary Jane is leading us in worship here today with a very heavy heart and a lot on her mind, and so we join her in that. So let's go before God in prayer. God, this time of year, as we step into Thanksgiving, we know that we have so much to be grateful for. God, first and foremost, we're grateful for you. The way that you create, the way that you love, the way that you have a purpose for this world and you have a purpose for us. God, we thank you for the beauty that you create all around us. We thank you for the comforts and the joys and the relationships that we get to enjoy day in and day out. God, we thank you that you loved us enough, that you're willing to step into our chaos. You're willing to step into our brokenness. You showed us how to love and how to live in a broken world, and that you served us to the end and loved us to the end, to the point that you're willing to die on the cross to forgive our sins. So God, we give you thanks for the forgiveness of sins and the life that is available through you and you alone. God, we thank you for the changing seasons. We thank you for the beautiful people in our life. We thank you for church. We thank you for family. We thank you for the little joys that we get to enjoy day in and day out. God, we just know that we have so much to be thankful for. And so we just pause and give you thanks. And yet, God, we know that we live in a broken world. And that some of us here today just step into worship with a heavy heart and a lot going on both in life and in our hearts today. Lord, we think of Sarah and her husband, and think of Mary Jane and Ken. Just pray that you'll be with all the Timmer family today as they just kind of sit in the uncertainty, knowing that they want to just sit in the hospital with the ones that they love, and yet the weird times today know that that's just not possible. So God, here in this moment, may your spirit fill us now. May your spirit fill the uncertain parts, the anxiety, the uncertainty. May you fill that hospital room and just grant them an overwhelming sense of your presence and peace during this difficult time. And God, we know that the Timmers are not the only ones with heavy hearts today. We know that there are so many people that are just going through so many different things. And so God, whatever it is that we are wrestling with today, whether it's sickness or whether it's anxiety or whether it's just the overwhelming sense of the day-to-day, God, we just pray that your spirit will fill those spaces and overwhelm us with your peace and your presence as you journey with us every single step of our lives. God, thank you that you stepped into the brokenness, you stepped into the chaos, that you are a God that is with us and that you are a God that is so worthy to be praised. So God, we give you our hearts, we give you our praise, and we just thank you for being a God that loves us so much. Lord, this we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Brian. A lot to pray for, right? A lot to be thankful for, but yet a lot to pray for. I don't know if you knew it too, but next Sunday is the first Sunday in the season of Advent. Did you know that? I got the Christmas music on already. 105.7. There you go. But they play the same 10 songs over and over. But I like Christmas and the music and all that coming. So next Sunday, we begin that season of Advent and anticipating and celebrating again the arrival of God to this planet. But for today, we're going to finish our series on prayer. So we spent the last few weeks talking about prayer and what that means and so on like that. So one more day today on this theme of prayer. So let me tell you this morning about two married couples. Okay, the first couple was just running really hard in life. I mean, they were just very busy, had a lot going on. They woke up early in the morning. They worked long hours. Their kids were involved in all kinds of activities, driving them back and forth and all that kind of thing. So they rarely had time to communicate through the week. They hardly ever sat down for supper and shared a meal together. But when Friday night came, everything changed for them because they had this standing sort of Friday night date night, and they did it right. I mean, they made reservations at fancy restaurants and they went there and spent time and ate the food. Sometimes they would make it, turn it into like an overnight, you know, Friday night into Saturday and kind of extend that date time together. So not a whole lot of communication through the week, but boy, they made up for it on Friday night. Now, the other couple was really different. Now, they were busy too. They had jobs, they had kids doing activities and all that kind of thing. But they can't remember the last time they had reservations for anything. And the idea of a Friday night date night just seemed kind of unrealistic to them. They just didn't do that. But during the week, when one of them, like, you know, driving to work, they kind of just pick up the phone and make a quick call to kind of check in on the other one. While they were at work, 2 or 3 hours wouldn't go by, and they would kind of text the other one, kind of just, how's your day going? You okay? Just to kind of keep tabs on each other. So they didn't have those standing date nights, but they kind of communicated all through the day. So two very different couples, right? But they both had one thing in common. You know what it was? They both thought that there was something missing from their relationship. And they were both right. So we've been talking these weeks about prayer And the one big idea for the whole series is right up there on the screen: nurturing a relationship. Because prayer isn't just asking for stuff and then waiting until it comes. Prayer isn't just a religious duty that we do. Prayer isn't just reciting special words and phrases and then that's it. Prayer is a relationship. Because God isn't just this, you know, this force in the universe, this religious deity that we kind of have to appease or something like that. God is a loving Heavenly Father. He made us. He cares for us. He loves us. And He's a Father that we can communicate with and actually have a relationship with, can't we? So my guess is that for a number of people who are here this morning, as you approach God, your prayer life would be more like that first couple. You know, not a whole lot of communication through the day, but you have that date, if we can talk about that with God, right? You did the prayer challenge when they came the last couple of weeks, right? You have that carved out time, that 15 minutes, that 20 minutes that you do in the morning or the evening, right? You did that. You do that. I mean, not a whole lot of communicating through the day, but you have really great dates. For others of you, my guess is probably for more of you, you're more, as you approach God, you're more like that second couple, right? You can't think of the last time that you sat down and prayed for 15 minutes straight. It's like you're thinking, I can't do that. I wouldn't even know what to do for 15 minutes with God, you know, at a time, right? But you do pray. You know, because you're driving to work in the morning, you say a prayer. You sit down for lunch at your desk, say a prayer. You know, you go to bed at night, say another prayer. So, you know, you don't have those devoted kind of times with God, like in the morning or the evening, but you're communicating with God all day long. So my question is, which one of those approaches to prayer is the right one? I think you know the answer, right? What's the answer? It's both, right? Of course, it's both. We need both. Because if all you have is those, you know, devoted times, those date times, but nothing else, or if you just kind of are shooting off quick prayers all day long, but don't have that devoted time with God, there's going to be something missing from your relationship with God. And so my goal this morning is really simple. I just want to try to convince you that both of those kinds of prayer are not only doable in your life, but you'll actually find it enjoyable. You know, like if you have a good, healthy relationship with another person, just really enjoy it and delight in it. If we can learn to kind of do both of these types of prayer, I think it'll just foster and nurture our relationship with God. It'll be awesome. So the scripture reading today is probably the shortest scripture reading in the history of scripture readings. Don't blink or you might miss it. It's from 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, and it's only two words. It's actually the title of the message today. I'm still going to have you stand. So you got to stand where you are, in your spot. All right? So here's the thing. It's only two words. So what I thought is, why don't we say these two words together out loud so that we kind of get it this morning. All right? Are you ready? One, two, three. Pray continually. All right, let's do it again because it was so short. One, two, three. Pray continually. Now, of course, these words occur in the context. There we go. They occur in a context. So I just want to give you just the few words around that because it's also appropriate for this week, right? Thanksgiving. So this is what Paul says. He says, rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, which is what we're going to do this week, and which is probably a little tough for the Timbers to do this morning. But in all circumstances, we're all given thanks. for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. You can sit down. All right, so I'm going to kind of just break this down into two parts this morning, and there you see it. I want to just kind of talk about prayer as an event, and then prayer as a way of life. Okay? Prayer as an event, and then prayer as a way of life, because we need both. So let's start here with prayer as an event. So just like if you're in a relationship with somebody, right, your husband, your wife, your spouse, or your friend or something, you have those designated times, right, that you spend together because you want the relationship to grow and flourish and all of that. Well, we need to do the same thing in our relationship with God. Now, why would I say that? Because I think there are all kinds of examples of this all the way through Scripture. Like, for example, when the Israelites were in the wilderness, right, those 40 years in the wilderness, Moses would go out regularly to the tent of meeting, it says, and he would spend time just communing with God. In fact, it says that God would speak to Moses as a person speaks to his friend face to face. And that's an awesome concept, right? Daniel, remember Daniel? He was in exile in Babylon, and three times a day he would go into his room and close the door, get down on his knees, and he would pray to God. Just him and God, devoted time. But of course, the best example in Scripture is always Jesus, right? Remember, Jesus in the Gospels doesn't just teach us how to live, he actually models it for us. And he says, look at me, live the way I live. And so we have this verse in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, says Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. He did that. He just made that part of the rhythm of his life every day. There's another verse that I mentioned earlier on in the series that I brought up, and I just want to bring it up one more time. It's Mark 1:35. This is what it says, too, about Jesus. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Now, this was the morning after, apparently, a very intense day of ministry the day before. Jesus probably went to bed kind of late that night before, but look, this is how he started that next day. So what do we learn from this example of Jesus, right? Well, we learned the three D's. Remember this from a few weeks ago? Did you forget the three D's? Okay, just the three D's. Jesus decided to get up, right? He decided. Decision. He disconnected. He left the house and the disciples and all the other distractions, and then he just delighted with his Father through prayer. So decide, disconnect, and delight. That's kind of the big framework of prayer. And so we kind of have to do that too, right? When we approach prayer, when we think about prayer, we have to kind of decide. Decide. When am I going to do this? I got to be purposeful. I have to be intentional. It's not just going to happen. Is it going to be in the morning? Is it going to be in the evening? Am I going to take a couple minutes at lunch? I got to decide, right? And then you have to disconnect. Turn the TV off. Put your phone down. Is there a room in your house where you can do that? You know, is there a booth at a restaurant that you can kind of just be alone, right? Or is there, you know, just maybe just in your car, right? And then turn the radio off. And then once you're there, you know, don't just throw up prayers and just, you know, do sort of random stuff like that, but actually go into that time and delight in the relationship that you have with the living God. So how do you do that? Well, let me try to pull this all together for us this morning and just say from the start, there's no one right way to do this. So what I'm going to tell you this morning, this is not the way. This is not what you have to do or anything like that. Just like there's no one way to date your significant other, right? There's no one right way for that. But we can learn from some principles in Scripture that talk about this, and we can also listen to wise spiritual Christian leaders throughout history who have done this and practiced this and wrote about this. So I'm just going to share with you this morning a little template, a little model. Again, this is not the right one or the best one or anything like that. But this is sort of what I've gathered through different reading and thinking about this. I actually talked to the person at our college who teaches our spiritual formation course. And I said, hey, I'm talking on prayer this week. Is there something kind of a model that y'all talk about in the spiritual formation class? And she shared this a little bit, some of this with me. So I want to kind of share it with you. So for prayer as an event, right, like those date times with God, here's kind of what I want to boil it down to, kind of three words. And it's listening, speaking, and receiving. It's kind of a model for those date times with God, that set aside time, prayer as an event. Listening, speaking, receiving. So let's just break it down here, right? Listening. Unlike any other creature in the universe, we were made as human beings, right? And we were designed to hear the voice of our Creator. Isn't that awesome? I mean, no other creature, no other thing in all the world except us. We get to do that. Listen to the voice of the one who made us. So before you go in your prayer time and just start, you know, sharing all your thoughts with God and asking for all this stuff, just quiet your heart and let God speak first. Don't be so fast. Don't jump in. Let God speak first. Now, of course, the main way that God speaks to us is how? It's, you know, you're probably not going to get an audible voice. Well, you're not going to get an audible voice. I've never gotten one either. The main way God speaks to us is just through His Word. It is. It's awesome. He communicates in His Word through Scripture. So here's what you could do to begin your time. Spend maybe the first 10 or 15 minutes, right, and just open up that word and say, God, I want to listen to you. I want to listen to your voice. And that's just kind of a good way to open your time in prayer. And this listening time has kind of two elements to it. The first one is just to read a passage of Scripture. Now, this is what we did in the prayer challenge the last few weeks. If you've been doing this, paying attention, we kind of, you know, shot out in that text or through on the Facebook a little Scripture, right? That went with the previous week's sermon, some scriptures to read, not long ones. You know, some of you have tried this, right? You tried, you know, this read through the Bible in a year thing, and then they kind of send you, like, you got to read a chapter a day or three chapters in a day. And I'm thinking, I can't do that. I don't have the concentration to read three chapters in a day. That's just way too much. I can't handle all that. So I like to kind of listen to God and meditate and read Scripture with just little chunks, little bits, little few verses. One of the things that I've used besides the prayer challenge that we sent out is I use something, there's an app called Lectio 365. Lectio 365. If you forget that, ask me later. I'll let you know. But they just send you every day a little chunk of Scripture to read, and then I read it. And just kind of read through that and then, you know, slow down and read it again. And read it carefully and slowly and reflectively. That's kind of how I start. That's the first part. But I'm not done listening, because what I've learned from other great Christian followers through the centuries is that there's another part to this listening, and that involves meditation. Meditation. So what does it mean to meditate on the Scripture that you read? Well, I think what it means is just to respect God's voice enough that we just slow down and think through it. And maybe you chew on this a little bit and you kind of talk back to God about the Scripture first before you unleash all your requests. Just talk back to God about the Scripture. And that was all part of the prayer prompt and the prayer challenge. We gave you a Scripture, remember? Some of you did this, and there was a little time to meditate, right? And we prompted you with some questions. As you reflect on the Scripture, what does that Scripture teach you about God? Are there any sins that you need to repent of? Are there any promises in there that you can claim? Are there any commands maybe that you need to obey? So this is just part of the listening, right? You read the scripture, you just kind of meditate on it. That's what I mean by meditation. You just respect the word enough that you give it your best thought process. You don't just read it with your eyes, but you read it with your heart and your whole body. So that's the first thing, listening. It's just reading and then sort of meditating. So maybe you have never done that. That's okay. Maybe you want to start doing it. Tim Keller, in his book on prayer, writes about a woman who had never done that before, just kind of prayed, prayers on her own, and then kind of thought about this listening part of prayer. And this is what Tim Keller shares in his book about this woman. This is what she said. She said, "I have never ever thought about approaching God and his word like I have my professional work or school. That is, until now. I never thought about actually studying this passage of scripture and reflecting on the words and praying in a way that's thoughtful and pairing that prayer with scripture. I would sum up my life as a Christian in one simple word now: potential. If I put even a fraction of the effort I put into my professional life into my spiritual life, I cannot imagine what potential there is for my life and for my family." She said, "I'm still waking up at 4 a.m., but now instead of turning on my work computer, I get out my prayer journal with my pencil, a highlighter, and I study the words of the passage each day. And I'm praying in a way that's more thoughtful and purposeful than ever. I'm putting the analytical mind that God gave me to work in a way that I never had before. That is to hear him and learn about what he wants me to hear." And I love, through his word, I love her last word, "Wow." This would be eye-opening. This could be life-changing if you actually started your prayer time with this listening thing. Now look, you don't have to get up at 4 a.m. You're not more spiritual if you get up at 4 a.m. You know, just do this intentionally. But you read a little bit of scripture, a little chunk. You kind of meditate, reflect slowly, listening to God, talking back, so that then you can begin to pray more thoughtfully and more purposefully. Does that make sense? Okay, that's listening time. Just reading and meditating on the word, that's the first part of your date with God, meeting with God. So the second part is speaking. So this is obviously what you're more familiar with. This is where we just kind of speak and tell God our prayers and we talk to God. Now here's the thing, I don't think, a lot of us just do this randomly, right? We just start throwing out stuff and praying and there actually, I think, is a template and a model to do this speaking. And I would call it, and I'm going to give you a little model here. First of all, and when you're speaking to God, start with guided prayer. Guided prayer, kind of a structure and a form for your prayer. Now again, there's no one way to do this, but it just helps to have a structure and a guide for your prayer so it's not just all random thoughts. So it's helpful, like again, to have that guide. The guide that we sent you in the prayer challenge was this acronym PRAY, right? P-R-A-Y. And this is just a good structure and a model for it. It's one of them, right? There are others. But, right, just to use this as a guide. So the P is for praise. So you just start your prayer praising God. Just praise him for who he is, what he's done, for his awesomeness in the universe. And then R is just to repent of some sins in your life. Be specific, be honest, and repent. And then the A is for ask. Start asking God for things. And then the why is for yield. You get to the end of your prayer and you say, okay, God, what do you want me to do now? How do you want me to act as a result of this? I think it's a very helpful guide, and it just brings balance to your prayer so you're not all kind of just asking. There's a balance to your prayer. Throughout the centuries, Christians and a lot of these spiritual leaders and so on have used as their guide the Lord's Prayer, right? The Lord's Prayer as a guide. So when you start speaking to God, just kind of turn to God and say, Lord, I want to pray the way that Jesus taught us to pray. And you can just kind of start praying through the Lord's Prayer. But when you, you know, phrase by phrase, I mentioned this last week, and then when you get to a certain phrase, just kind of stop and kind of customize that phrase for you and your day. You know, like, for example, something like this maybe, "Our Father who art in heaven. God, thank you so much that I get to call you Father. Thanks for being my dad. I'm so glad to be your beloved child, your son, your daughter. Help me to feel your love and affection for me today, Father. Hallowed be your name. Lord, I just pray that the way I think about you today and the way that I talk about you, it'll just be obvious that I have such a regard for you, that you are holy, that you are in a class by yourself. And I pray that you'll just help me to understand that you are God and I'm not. Hallowed be your name." And then so on, right, through the Lord's Prayer. And I think it's just helpful to have this kind of guide because it helps your prayers to be biblical. And it helps your prayers to be balanced. Just a great way to start. So once you've worked your way through the guided prayer, then the second part of that speaking part is what I would call the listed prayer. The listed prayer. So this is where your list comes in. Remember, I talked about this last week. Did you do it? This was your assignment, everybody. You didn't do it. You were supposed to write two names, right? And then pray through those names. Maybe write down, right? Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, just the days of the week. Write down the names of your people that you're praying for. You know, my wife's always on the top of the list. My kids are always on the list. My friends, my colleagues, those are the people on my list. I have a young man that I'm meeting with now. He's looking for a ministry job, a ministry position, and that really is weighing on him. So he's on my list. And I pray for him every day. I just make sure that I slow down and pray for the people on my list. Now, sometimes something will come up during the week and somebody will tell me something and I got to add that to the list. Like, I just added the Timmers to my list. They're on my list. And they're going to go on today. I'm going to start praying for them. And maybe you want to put them on your list too, right? Another person this week said they were having surgery. Could you pray for me? So I said, okay, you're on my list. I'm going to pray for you too. Right? Here's the thing. Make a list because you know why? I think if you don't, you're going to forget three quarters of what you're praying for. You just won't remember anything. You won't pray for it. It's just really practical to kind of make a little list and write some stuff down that you can bring before God. And then thirdly, in this speaking part, I'll just call it free prayer, just free prayer, right? This is where you just pray to God, you know, whatever's on your heart, whatever's going on, let the Holy Spirit guide your thoughts. If you're worried about something, then pray over that. If you have a big decision coming up in your life, then pray over that. But here's the thing, pour your heart out to God. God is not only interested in the informational component of your prayer. He wants to know how you feel. So just pour it out and say, God, I'm hurting here, man. I'm going down. I don't feel so good. My heart is heavy. I'm having joy. I'm really thankful. Let him know. Talk to God like he was your friend. And just freely have that awesome relationship with a personal God. So listening, right, and then speaking, and I'm almost done, right, and then receiving. So I kind of want to, you know, to end your prayer time, not just with speaking amen, but then just kind of to kind of receive and kind of, like we receive a blessing from God at the end of every worship service, right? The benediction. And just kind of, God, I want to receive your blessing today. I want to just maybe just put your hands out, right? And say, God, I'm finished praying now. What do you have for me today? What blessing do you have for me today? For example, this past week I ran across 2 Timothy 1 verse 7 and just closed my time in prayer like something like this. Lord, thank you that you have not given me a spirit of fear, but you have given me a spirit of power and of love and of sound discipline. Lord, fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit and make me a person of power, make me a person who loves others, and give me just wisdom and self-discipline. In Jesus' name, amen. And now I'm ready for the day. Right? And now I'm ready for the day. Now, does that make all my problems for the day go away if I start that way with that date with God? No, of course not. Does that make my day really easy and just, no, of course not. But it does set a tone for the day. And I've honored the relationship of the person who is the most important in my life by having that set aside date time with him. 15 minutes. Okay, 10 minutes. Okay, 20 minutes. But I'm telling you, it's doable. And you don't have to become a monk to do this. You can do it. And I just encourage you in that most important relationship to have that special set aside time. That's prayer as an event, like a date with God. But if that's the only thing you do, then you're going to feel like there's something missing in your life. Because you have to have this second thing too, which is number two, prayer as a way of life. Just as a way of life. So return to our verse for this morning, the two words, right? What did Paul mean when he said, pray continually? Pray continually. I mean, is that even possible? Who does that? Who prays continually? Well, let me just list some other places where Paul describes his own prayer life and how he does this. Here, let me just really quickly, I'll point these out. Romans 1, 9 and 10, he said, constantly I remember you in my prayers at all times. 1 Corinthians 1, 4, I give thanks to my God always for you. Ephesians 1:16, I constantly give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. Ephesians 6:18, praying at all times in the Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:3, I remember you constantly in my prayers, day and night. Does that sound like Paul had 20 minutes of prayer with God in the morning and then that was it? I mean, he was done? When and how long does it sound like Paul prayed? All the time. Just all the time, right? There was a Princeton theologian named Charles Hodge back in the 1800s, and just listen to how he describes this in his own life. This is what he says in his own life, Charles Hodge. He says, as far back as I can remember, I had the habit of thanking God for everything I received and asking him for everything I wanted. If I lost a book or any of my playthings, I prayed that I would find it. I prayed walking along the streets, in school, out of school, whether playing or studying. I did not do this in obedience to any prescribed rule. It seemed natural. I thought of God as an everywhere present being, full of kindness and love, who would not be offended if children talked to him. I knew he cared for sparrows. I was as cheerful and happy as the birds and acted as they did. Wow, isn't that like a kind of poetic even? Just what a beautiful thing to have that kind of constant access, you know, to God. So picture your day. Picture your day. And this is what it could look like for you in real time. Maybe you want to close your eyes or just think about your day. I don't know if you work full time, but I'm just going to assume that maybe you do for this. So imagine your day. Okay, so you're in the shower in the morning, you're shaving at the bathroom sink, and all of a sudden you think of a person that you're going to encounter that day or have a meeting with. And you can just lift up a prayer to God right there in the bathroom and say, God, I'm going to meet this person. Help me to love them well. Give me wisdom to know what to say. Let me be a blessing in their life. You get in the car. You're driving to work. You see some kids waiting for the bus on the corner. And you go, oh, kids, I just pray that y'all have a good day. School must be hard these days. I pray for you. I pray for your teacher. Have a good day. You know, you get into your office. You find out one of your coworkers is sick. Not there. So you go, oh, I just pray for so-and-so. God, heal them, bless them, bring them back to work really soon. Bless their family. Right? You have an important meeting at work, project that you're working on. Just stop before you go into the room. God, this is a big deal. This is important for our business. I just want to pray for wisdom here, for the folks that are going to be in the meeting. Lord, be present in the meeting and guide our thinking and discussion. After the meeting, you realize your daughter has a really important calculus test that day. And so you just stop for a minute and you just pray, God, give her a good recall and give her a calmness as she takes that test. And later on, you remember an argument that you had with your spouse the night before. You know, you were stubborn, and you stop and you just pray a quick prayer of confession for your hard-heartedness, followed by a quick text to your spouse. Sorry, honey. And you get to the end of your day, and you're driving home, and you realize that there was a calmness, there was a power to your day, and you realize that actually is the best version of yourself. You prayed all day because you prayed continually. I think that's what it means to pray continually. And one of the reasons that is so important is because the alternative to that, you know, if we don't go through our day like that, you know what winds up happening? Anxiety. Worry. Paul Miller, I referred to his book earlier in the series, book that I kind of used for this series a little bit. This is how he describes it. He says, what does an unused prayer link look like? Anxiety. Instead of connecting with God, and I love this image, our spirits fly around like severed power lines, destroying everything they touch. Anxiety wants to be God, but lacks God's wisdom, power, and knowledge. It's unable to relax in the face of chaos. Once one problem is solved, the next in line steps up. Does that ever describe your life? Does it? I mean, you're like this unsevered power line, just flopping around, hurting everybody, frantic activity. When Paul wrote his letter to the Philippians, remember, he was in prison, he was in jail, and he wrote this. He wrote, do not be anxious about anything. Yeah, real easy to say, Paul. How in the world do you do that? Well, here it is. But in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the God of peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. People, it really is that simple. It's just that simple. If we don't pray a lot about everything, we're going to worry a lot about everything. It's just an easy decision to make. Paul Miller is so good. I just want to quote him one more time. He says, when you pray continuously, moments when you are prone to anxiety can become invitations to drift into prayer. A traffic jam, a slight from a friend, or a pressured deadline can serve as a door to God. You'll find yourself turning off the car radio to be with your Father. You'll wake up at night and discover yourself praying. It will be like breathing. How many of you are focused on breathing right now? Like, okay, inhale. Okay, now exhale. And some of you say, well, I'm thinking about it now, Pastor Dan, because you just told us to. What would it be like to just go through your day communicating with God? Prayer is a way of life, and it just became your default position, and it was just like breathing. You don't even think about it. It's just what you do, right? Prayer as an event that we plan and guide, and then prayer as a way of life all through the day. Now, some of you are probably really great at prayer as an event, right? You did the prayer challenge. You can't wait. By the way, there's one more week of this, so you have a chance to do it. You did the prayer challenge, right? It came on your phone. You put the 15 minutes or the 20 minutes down. You did it. It was awesome. And then, you know, there, truth be told, though, there wasn't a whole lot of prayer the rest of the day, right? So if that's you and you did that, I just want to challenge you to think about what your life could be if you just leaned into God all day long, just praying in constant communication. We need both, prayer as a way of life. Now, some of you here, right, you're not really great at the date with God, the devoted time, right? The prayer thing came on your phone and you didn't do it. That's okay. But you prayed all day long, right? You did, you know, driving to work and you did the prayer thing all day long. Well, if that's you, I just want to challenge you this morning to just say to God, God, my relationship with you is so important that I want to honor you by listening to your voice. Scripture, meditation, I want to set that time aside because I love you, Lord, and I want to communicate with you. We need both. So I knew this would happen. 4 weeks on prayer, we barely scratched the surface. There's so many more things that we could say. But if you forget everything that we said in this series, everything, just remember this one thing, one thing. It comes down to one thing. Prayer is a relationship. Nurturing a relationship. God is not some energy or force in the universe. He is a personal, loving, caring Heavenly Father, and He invites us to communicate with Him in prayer. And so I just want to end the series with this last verse and just end it this way. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is His body, and since we have a great priest, that's Jesus, over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with full assurance that faith brings. People, listen. Because of Christ, because of the cross, the door to God's presence has been flung wide open. And we have complete access to just walk right in. There are no barriers whatsoever. So, through prayer as an event and through prayer as a way of life, let us draw near to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have created each one of us in your image. And Lord, we thank you that you created us to worship you, to serve you, but you also created us to communicate with you. Thank you that you speak to us in your word so clearly, so wonderfully. Help us to listen well. And then, Lord, thank you that we can talk to you and tell you how we feel and pour our hearts out to you. Thank you that you receive that. You're a loving Heavenly Father and you love to hear from your kids. Lord, we're coming to you this week because we love you and we want to communicate with you. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, our great high priest, who translates our prayers, our human prayers and thoughts, and is interceding for us on our behalf. Lord, thank you for the gift of prayer. May we become people of prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Bowing here, I find my rest, and without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you. Oh, God, how I need you. For
sin runs deep. Your grace is more. Your grace is found. Is where you are. Where you are. Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you. So teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way, and when I cannot stand, I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, now I need you. My one defense. My righteousness, oh God, how I need you.
Before Pastor Dan comes up for a final blessing, the Christian Ed Committee wanted to give up a quick update, a quick announcement, so we're going to have them come up and do that at this time. So, Judy, Jean.
Chance to order pie.
Hold on.
Oh, I don't know how to use that. Okay. Well, if you didn't order pies, now is your chance to do mittens. We're going to make this really quick because you're all ready to go home. 2 years ago, the Christian Ed Committee asked you to sponsor hats, and we thought we could give every child at Chalmette Hill School a hat. And knowing our church, we should have known. You pledged 535 hats, so they went everywhere. And this year we decided to be a little more work heavy, and we're making mittens. And we're hoping with this is a lot more work, so we're not thinking 500 pair of mittens, but that would be amazing. But we would love to give every student at Chalmette or a school of your choice or kids of your choice a new pair of mittens for the winter. So in your box, you have a form where you can sponsor mittens. We will be delivering them. We will make sure they get to kids in need or people in need, or you may take them. And we need the orders back in by December 5. And Jane would love some help sewing. I'm the cutter, she's the sewer. She has some people sewing, so if anybody wants to sew some mittens, that would be great. But also pray for us that we fill our orders and bless the kids that get them. And thank you so much for your support of Christian Ed. Just to know, last year with COVID, we didn't do any fundraising, and we easily met our goal to send all the kids that wanted to go to Christian school. So thank you for that support, and have a great Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
All right, everybody. Don't forget to come back on Thursday, Thanksgiving. We're going to thank God. We're going to worship. Then we're going to eat turkey. Next week is Advent. Receive God's blessing. The grace of Jesus is yours to keep. The love of God our Father is yours to share. The power and presence of the Holy Spirit is yours to equip you and encourage you in your work and in your faith. Go in peace to love and serve our Lord Jesus. Amen.
Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. my wife.